Okay, well, we'll talk it out.
Yeah.
So I do thank Zev and Yaakov for making me research it. So, okay, so there is this principle in Psa called Halacha Kebatrai. Maybe I'll talk about some aspects I didn't talk about there. So what does Halacha Kebatrai mean? So what does it mean?
Yeah.
I wouldn't suggest going outside right now. That's not a good idea. Yeah,
it's Kishmei Brocha.
What it is, as long as you're not outside.
The last day on the Gemara is how it goes.
What do the words mean?
The last one is how the halacha goes.
Good. Yeah. The last one is how the halacha goes. Halacha kibatra. Now, who does that... Gavi. Okay. So who does that apply... What does it mean? Who does it apply to? So let's divide this. There's the excellent article I found. That was the 51-page article I sent you.
Asif.com.
Asif. I'll forward it to you.
You're just not.
So Asif is basically a website that collects all the articles from like the Dati Lumi journals and things like that. Yeah, this is going to be hard to record, but that's okay. I just recorded it. There's this article by Mordechai Goodman, and he notes that there are two basic approaches that were developed. Two of the modern academics of halacha studied this. One was Rabbi Dr. Menachem Alon. Do you know who that was? He was a member of Bagatz, I think, right, of
What's
the Supreme
that?
Court.
Oh.
And he was in Israel. And he wrote Mishpat Ivri. He wrote a collection of books, and basically created the field of Mishpat Ivri, which is analyzing halacha from a jurisprudential vantage point, and then figuring out ways of using the principles of halacha in Israeli law. And in different places in Israel, Mishpat Ivri has more or less power. In Yerushalayim, in the municipal courts, I was told by by someone who studied a bit, they treat Mishpat Ivri almost on par with basically the standard Israeli law. Mishpat Ivri is part of Israeli law. You'll see there are a lot of Piskei Din that follow the Chavetz Chaim and Bible law.
In Haifa, it's like nothing.
I have no idea. I know that in Yerushalayim it's more. I assume in other cities it's less. Yerushalayim it's more. That makes sense. That and Israeli law and British law and Ottoman law and all those laws that were part of creating modern Israeli law. So he wrote on it. Now his position was that halacha kibatrai is a rule that grants power to later generations. Meaning, you would have thought that so much of halacha talks about the fact that the original poskim are the best. Right? Or as the Gemara goes, im harishonim kimalachim, anachnu kivnei adam. Im harishonim kivnei adam, anu kichamorim velo kichamorosh pinchas ben yair. It's a great Gemara. Right? If the original generations were angels, then we're animals. Then we're people, rather. And if they were people, then we're donkeys, but not special donkeys.
Yeah.
Right? Now, Ray Clapper always knows that there's an element of humor here, because it starts off really serious, and then it says, and we're not regular donkeys, and then tells a story about the special donkey of Pinchas Ben Yair, who kept kosher and kept Shabbos, and all the wonderful things that are going on. So there is a certain humor in this Gemara. But still, people talk about this. You read Da HaDarot, which they say as if this is Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, which it's not. It's just not.
Besides for that,
it doesn't have to be. It could be a reality, like without.
Maybe it is. Maybe. But anyways,
does it say that tomorrow? Besides for that, tomorrow?
No.
No,
that's not true. You have certain things of... You do have other Gemaras. The Gemaras say, well, the earlier generations were firmer than us. We're not, but you have other Gemaras who say, no, the earlier generations only learned some of Shas, and we know all of Shas.
Right?
Things like that. So there are statements in both directions. So he focuses on the extent to which this grants power to the later generations. That even though we think of Yiridat HaDarot, if Halacha Kibatrai, that's not true. Now, what philosophically would justify that approach, even though that doesn't seem to be what Halacha Kibatrai is? Right, what would justify that approach? There's a few philosophical justifications for it. The most famous is, in halachic literature, is usually quoted in the name of Shmuel Aleket, which is quoted in the Tosafot Rid, but it's really not from him. It is the midget on the shoulder of giants.
Uh-huh.
Right? This is, what is the midget on the shoulder of giants?
Oh, that was from Newton.
So people attribute it to Newton. It started in the 12th century by Bernard of Chartres. I'm not really sure how you pronounce that. Or dwarfs on the shoulder of giants. I mean, the basic argument there is, yes, as individuals, the earlier generations may have been greater than us, but we can see farther because we build on their culminating knowledge, and therefore we see farther, and therefore, yes, we as individuals may be not as great, but collectively we have a fuller perspective on the world.
Right, we saw what they saw.
Now there are variations on this. One is simply, we know everything they've said. The other is, we know what everyone else of their contemporaries have said. Meaning, it's not that we're greater than any individual, but we're not poskening like the Rambam, or the Rajba, or whatever. It's that we've seen all of those positions. So we have that ability. Though the Rishonim argue, is it better... Do you have more authority if you argue based on an earlier Rishon or based on a new Svara? Because you could go either way. You could say, the Rambam is smarter than me, I can't come up with a new Svara. But if I had a different... If I find a Gaon, so maybe the Gaon can argue on the Rambam. Or you could say the opposite, right? Which is, he obviously had better access to the tradition, but no human being is perfect. And if I come up with a question that I don't see any answer to, maybe I should follow that.
Right.
And the Rishonim actually... The opposite can go both ways. Rav Kook has a different angle on this, and this is more mystical, but it's interesting, which is maybe sort of the collective Kedusha of Am Yisrael has been building. So the Kedusha level of Am Yisrael is 100 billion. Now, the Rambam alone was 1 billion of that. Now, so fine.
People,
what?
Because there's more people.
No. He's just worth a billion of Kedusha points. I don't know. Don't ask me how.
Okay.
Right? I might be worth half a point.
Okay.
Elamai. So as individuals, I'm half a point. The Rambam is a billion points, so he's 2 billion times as Kaddish as I am. But he was poskening for a world which was only, right, 30 billion.
Okay.
Nagin. But when I add my 2 cents, yeah, right, I am channeling the collective Kedusha of Am Yisrael, which is built. This is a very mystical,
yeah,
very mystical idea. I don't really know what it means, but there was another article I found that basically put together a few ideas by Rav Kook. I didn't say I was either. You want the quote? I don't know if it'll help you. Sometimes that's the...
You got more like a Kedusha weight behind you because of the...
yeah, you want me to...
No, I'm generally not understanding what it's saying.
No, your generation is more Kadosh as a whole than the Rambam's generation, so you have more...
Because
why?
Because you've been
this
building.
Generation?
Yeah.
Because
more of this generation...
Here. I'll read you the quote. He says as follows. Klal gadol, sha'afel pi shehal. This is from Igrot Raya. Even though the world has been going down and down and down, that's only externally. I mean, people's actions and their midot are less and less. So the individuals are not as great. But the essence, the inner essence, that was a mouthful, right? But the power of the community and the nation, kol dor vador, mosif al hadorot harishonim, they add the nesha kedusha mitzarefet, because kedusha, national kedusha, is cumulative. V'nimza shakedusha shel miut toro ma'asim tov v'dor acharonim mosifa or l'sha'avar gam kein.
So we add...
Saying that we know, right? Midges on the shoulders of giants is we have everything they know and the little bit of knowledge we have, so we see a little bit farther than they did because we have their cumulative knowledge. He's saying, no, the inherent Kedusha, somehow we channel that. The nimsa shakdusha shall miut toromaisim dobum shodor achrona mosifa orlisha avar gamkin. It adds, the avera in la perut velotseru. But avera, for some reason, don't. Because they have no cumulative effect. I don't know what that means, don't ask me.
He's saying we have the Rambam's generation's Kedusha and every generation's Kedusha.
Correct.
Plus it.
So it's not our Kedusha versus his Kedusha.
Correct. We are channeling the Kedusha of our generation, which is his generation. Do I know what this means? I don't. Rav Kook. That is a very...
I thought... Okay, never mind.
Here's another quote from him. If you understand it, great. Torat hahikpatchut, the Torah of development, ha'olechet u'koveshet ha'olam ke, which is conquering the world, he mit'ametet l'razei olam shel kabbalah. It is evidence of truth, or it is truthful in the secret worlds of Kabbalah. Yoter mikol tarot ha-pilosofia racharot, more than any other philosophy. Ahit patchut, development. Halechet b'maslul shel hitalut, which goes in the path of going upwardness. Hino tedet het ayesod ha-optimi ba'olam. That's what gives optimism, the essence of optimism to the world. Because how can you give up when you see the world developing? You know, again, he sees like the world developing, and like, okay.
That's why I like the evolution.
Great. Anyways, so there is an aspect which is this vantage point of halacha kibatrai, which is, even though the earlier generations are greater, that we still have the ability to pasken differently from them, to make our own way. We have phrases in the Gemara like this, like makom hinichu lo avota and hidgader po. Right, my parents, the previous generation have left room for me.
Oh, right.
Right, you have phrases like that in the Gemara, because even if they are individually greater, every generation adds to the collective, and we have the benefit of hindsight and the benefit of collective knowledge, and therefore, even though we may be as individuals less, we have the right and the ability under certain circumstances to make decisions that they wouldn't have made. Right. Or that they wouldn't have made. Right? That is one perspective on halacha kibatrai, which is a very, it's a very affirming perspective to later generations. Right? And this is the direction that Menachem Alon goes in. As if you look through the Rishon and the Acharon, this is not the dominant view in what halacha kibatrai means. Halacha kibatrai, if anything, is the opposite. I mean, not totally the opposite, but it is not a freeing principle. It is a constricting principle. It's a limiting principle. Meaning, halacha kibatrai, to the extent that it exists, is like any other rule. It constricts the number. It constrains you. There's less options in front of you. Meaning, you can't just say, well, I think the Rambam was right, and to hell with the rest of the history of halacha. Right? Halacha kibatrai.
Sure.
Right? You have to follow the emerging consensus.
But why can't you just paskin how you are paskin, and then that's the paskin?
Ah, because most people... See, that's Menachem Alon, which is, oh, you're a patrai, why can't you paskin that way? But you're right. There is certain elements of this in poskim that's what they're looking at halacha kibatrai. But usually, when poskim are talking about halacha kibatrai, they don't mean themselves. They mean I am constrained by my understanding of the emerging consensus, and then the question is of which consensus are we talking about? When was that consensus? This is a constraining view, not an expansive view.
And halacha kibatrai is.
No. So where does halacha kibatrai come from? So it appears for the first time in the Gaonim. But there's a big machlokas. Okay, so what does halacha kibatrai mean? So, one possibility of halacha kibatrai is that halacha kibatrai only means that when it comes to Amoraim in the Gemara, after Abaye and Rava, until Chasimas HaTalmud, we paskin like the later ones. And that's it. That's all it means. Why would you say something like that? And you'll tell me, oh, that's crazy. Who says that?
You see all the time in the Gemara, like the Talmidim. We go like the Talmidim.
No, we go like the Rebbe. The rule in the Gemara is halacha kirav, right? Rav, that Rav v'Talmid, Rav halacha kirav v'makom haTalmid.
But there's plenty of times where we go like
that. You never, ever see the rule. Ever. It's not in the Gemara.
Well, the word
is not about
tribe, but
it is not there. It is not there.
Okay.
It's not.
It's not there. I'm saying the words aren't there. Oh, wait a second. We learned a Gemara in Shabbos where Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi held of Beis Hillel by sudden betzitzis, and the Talmidim, right, said no, that there's a gzeira, and we go like that. Gzeira.
Okay, first of all, we don't know what we say there because to Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, right, and everybody whether. That statement is within Hillel or within Shammai. What are you telling me? And there's a machlokas whether we paskin by Hillel or by Shammai in that Gemara halacha in Tosfos.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
But like total chaos, right? That Gemara is complete chaos. We have no idea what's going on, right? And then there's the Mochamos, and then there's the Bala Etur. Everyone has a different sheet on that Gemara. Okay. So there is a shita that this is a very limited principle. It's only b'tkufat Talmud, and it's only from the time of Rava and Abaye on. Why? Now, this is, by the way, a position that's found in Tosfos. This is a position that's a position in Rashi.
Right.
Why is this true?
Because Ravina Ravashi is so far off.
Well, what does that mean? Right. What does it mean so far off?
You can't have Halachot Batrai after the last.
No, not after Ravina Ravashi. It's Rav and Abaye.
No. I'm saying after, like.
No, but why not before? What is this magic? Halachot Batrai in a very specific period, in a few generations of Amoraim. Why? So here Tosfos and Rashi say something very surprising. It's not just Rashi and Tosfos. There's many Rishonim. And they say this has nothing to do with are the earlier generations greater or the later generations greater. It has nothing to do with that at all. It has to do with a very specific thing, which is there was a switch in their Halimud during Abaye and Rava's time. Before Abaye and Rava's time, the Amoraim viewed themselves as, what was their job?
Understand the mission.
No. Transmitting the tradition of their individual rebbeim. And therefore, everything they said could not be taken lahalacha because they didn't even attempt to have a holistic halachic perspective. They viewed their responsibility as transmitters of their Rebbe's tradition. After Abaye and Rava, or Abaye and Rava and after, how did they view themselves? As trying to determine halacha based on the tradition as a whole. And therefore, Rashi, Tosfot in several places says, my God, says that halacha kibatrai is only from Rav and Abaye, and nothing to do with who's greater, nothing to do with that. I think because the Gemara, what does the Gemara say? What is the epitome of lamdos in the Gemara? Havaya d'Abaye and Rava. Right? That something about this generation of Abaye and Rava, they totally switched the way they analyze things. So the way Tosfos understands it, the way Rashi understands it, is that there was that switch where suddenly people said, oh, until now, we saw our job as transmitting the tradition of our Rebbeim, but we aren't responsible to determine halacha as a whole. Rav and Abaye said, no, that is our job. And so from that point, until Ravina and Ravashi were so far, that small little window in history, they were determining the halacha, and each generation had the benefit of the generation before them who had been engaged in this process of actually codifying halacha, and therefore you paskin like the later ones. Before that, before Rav and Abaye, who do you paskin like? Always the Rebbe. Why? Think about it. Why? Because if their derech halimud was to transmit their Rebbe's tradition, so if you have machloket the Rebbe in the Talmud, you always pass me the Rebbe.
Right.
So according to Rashi, according to Tosfos in these places, this halacha teaches us nothing. Nothing about do we listen to earlier generations, later generations, nothing. It's all about how are you learning. In a world in which you're trying to determine halacha, so then the more generations you have of people trying to do that within the context of Chazal until so far off. So within that narrow space, so then we paskin like halacha kibatra. But anything before Rav and Abaye, we paskin like the earlier ones. And anything post Talmud, we paskin like whoever, earlier generation.
It's all about the svaras and stuff like that. That's why.
It's not the svara, it's the type of svara. It's the type of approach. Right. It's not even like the particular. It's not like they're greater. It's just they're doing something different. Great. It's the same thing as saying, we don't paskin like X because he's a lamdan. And therefore, he's just not trying to do halacha lamaisa. We bother like him because he's a posek, right? He's just not interested.
It's the opposite. It's like they're just repeating the.
Correct, but I'm saying, but I'm saying it's the same way. You're not judging their derech halimud, their greatness. You're just saying that's not what they're doing.
Right.
He's a posek. He's not, and that's what he's saying. They were transmitters, and they were not.
But it's weird that we're postulating like the lamdanim.
Well, it's not just the lamdanim. It's the people who are engaging the system in its totality, rather than the people who are engaging individual traditions.
Okay,
right. That's all.
Right. That's all.
Right. Now, this approach is teaches us nothing about like anything besides for this.
Wait, but before Rav and Abaye, they were still like analyzing the traditions. They weren't just repeating them.
Well, the way these Rishonim understand is they were analyzing their own traditions.
Right.
I mean, they were responsible. They were analyzing their own traditions.
Yeah,
I mean, they felt responsible for their Rebbeim's traditions.
Yeah.
So they would ask questions on it, but they were responsible for their tradition. Right? They were analyzing. They were transmitting and analyzing their own traditions. But that doesn't make you a posek for Klal Yisrael. That means that you are a You are a good Talmud of the Beis Hillel school, but not that you're a. But you're not a posek.
Yeah.
Ledoro. Rav and Abaye started the move towards Horah in a collective sense. There are other Rishonim who say, no, this is true in the whole Talmud. This is just a rule in the Talmud. Now, other Rishonim go in this direction, right? So you see this, the Maram al-Shakar has a long tshuva on this, but you see this in the Rif. In this article, he notes six times where it seems to be a machloket between the Rambam and the Ravid, whether we do this or not. But that's the second possibility. That's within the Talmud. This is a rule within Talmud. It's one of the Klali Hara within the Talmud.
And that wouldn't apply out post Sarah.
Correct. Right. Correct. Now, there's another Svara. Now, in each of these, you have to divide. What is the Svara for Halacha Kabatroi, and who does it apply to? So, this Derech Halimud Svara really only applies within Tkufat HaMoraim. It's not even something that could be borrowed.
Sure.
The Svara of the midget on the shoulder of giants,
yeah,
right? Well, that already could apply post. Right? That's the type of Svara that could be extended. It'd be very hard to extend this.
Yeah, why not? The Rav and Abaye Svara.
I mean, unless you knew a later generation, they were post-Kim, they were not post-Kim.
Well, let's say you say they're all... within the Tkufa of the post-Kim, then you want to possibly the Basra. So if we're still in the...
Right, but they don't see that, right? All these people are saying, no, within the Tkufa of Horah, right? And Ravina and Ravashi, so Horah.
Okay.
Right? Ravina and Ravashi, so Horah. Wow.
Yeah.
Stormous, really.
Come on.
Okay. Now, this Shita of this... Now, by the way, there is a third possibility. In the Marami Panau, he actually says no. It's not just dwarfs on the shoulders of giants. It's that the later generations were just smarter. You just said time of the milta kim od amko avayder avashmol. Some in the, at least in time of Mara, they were just smarter. Not they learned differently. They were smarter. Nikuda sof sipor.
Right, but that wouldn't necessarily follow.
It wouldn't necessarily follow, but it would tell you that he doesn't believe in Yerida Hadarot in this way. He just doesn't, right? He thinks Allah by trying because the later generations are smart. Ramami Pana. Okay. Now, if you think though that the Shita, and this is the one that really emerged in Ashkenaz, the one that really won in Ashkenaz was Halacha Kibatrai is the dwarf on the shoulder of giants. That was like the one that resonated. That they whether they quoted that, like in the case of Shmuel Aleket and the Rid, not really Ashkenaz, but okay, or they didn't, and they just talked about the fact that the later generations saw the earlier generations, which is normally what they would say without the whole philosophical, beautiful metaphor. This is like the one that really became a dominant force in Ashkenaz. And the Maharik really captures it. Maharik and several Tshuva, and Peidalet and elsewhere, he is like obsessed with this. And it becomes very, very prominent in Ashkenazi Psak, Halacha Kibatrai. So that looks like exactly what it sounds like, that even later than the Tkufat HaAmoraim, we follow the later Poskim. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? So you find interesting compromises. So, for example, some Achronim say, look, Halacha Kibatrai is within a Tkufa. Meaning, if it's the Rambam versus Rabbi Yehuda, the Rambam wins. But within people who are Pachot or Yoter the same, let's say within 100 or 200 years of each other,
Rabbi Yehuda is way after the Rambam.
I know. So he says, if it's the Rambam, the Yehuda, the Rambam always wins. But if it's the Rabbi Yehuda and the Chavetz Chaim wins.
Right, so that's then the distinction of Rishon and Achron.
Correct. I mean, that's a compromise, which is to say, look, even post-Gemara, there are tkufot.
Right. Yeah, that would be like Amoraim versus Tanaim.
Correct. Meaning, these are post-Gemara who say, look, even the same models that we see in the Gemara are true afterwards. Meaning, they're tkufot. Opposing from an earlier tkufa, you can't argue with. But within a tkufa, the dafka, the later ones, who are the consensus of that tkufa, have more authority. So, if you want to know to Paskin like the Ram, let's say easy, the Ramban or the Ran,
right?
You would say the Ran because the Ran was a Talmud of whatever of the Ramban, and he's basically bringing together the tradition, and he's seeing the Ramban, and he sees the critiques of the Rashba, and he sees the critiques of the Ritva, and he sees the Ra'ah, and you know, and he knows the Rambam, and he's writing in the Rif, and he puts it all together. And he would be more authoritative within that generation because he's at the end of that tkufa and he's sort of summarizing that generation. But if you had a machlokas between the Rambam and Nadbi Huda, It's not a fair fight. Right? That's a middle position. Now,
that's not the main Ashkenaz position.
Whoa,
that is it.
That is the
end. But here's the key. The Rama's position in Choshen Mishpacha Chaf Hei Beis, and we've seen this, he very much holds this position, that this is a rule in Psak, Lidore Dera, right? This notion that the later generations have a certain consensus power, it is a rule, but he buys the Lamdus that the reason it's true is because the later generations saw the earlier generations. Good, what's the biggest nafkamina?
So,
that he himself says.
So the Note of Yudah
manuscripts. Manuscripts, correct. Is that he says, but if you find a Rishon that wasn't quoted lahalacha because the Acharnim didn't know it, then it gaze back at its authority, because what is this Shita really saying? The Rishonim have more authority. The Acharnim get their authority by virtue of the fact that they have access to more Rishonim. But if you find a Rishon they didn't have access to, Mimela, the Svara of the dwarfs on the shoulder of giants doesn't work, because that this wasn't part of the Chafetz Chaim's perspective, right? He didn't know the Meiri. So then the Meiri can override the Chafetz Chaim, right? Like that, right? That's what Yosef, that's what the Rama says,
yeah.
Right? That if you find a Gaon, you find a Rishon that wasn't part of the Halacha, right? Now the Chazon Ish is very.
If you find the Rishon
that wasn't part of the consensus.
Right.
So it wasn't part of the that the Chofetz Chaim didn't see it. Let's say when he wrote the Mishnah Berurah, then you can say, I mean, you're not bound to the later one.
But it's considered like an offer in terms of the fact that it.
No, if I care, you now can say, well, I have a Meiri and I have a Mishnah Berurah.
Yeah.
Who do I listen to? And you are allowed to just say, forget the later one, because the later one.
I see.
Right, that's what Yotze.
Right, but you wouldn't be able to say that the Rambam or something like that because the Mishnah Berurah knew about the Rambam.
Correct. Exactly. Right. You couldn't say, right, Dafka, that's the irony. The people who are like central to Halacha, you can't do it because.
Right. Because they knew, they were known.
Because
right?
They were known.
Sure.
So if the Mishnah, when the Mishnah Berurah made his calculus, he knew that he's going against the Rambam. But he didn't care because he said, well, that's not the consensus position. That everybody, the Rama and the Shach and the Taz and whatever, they all knew that the Rambam passed in that way. They didn't pass in that way.
Right.
So we don't pass in the Rambam. But the Meiri didn't know about it.
Yeah, so maybe you were possible.
Correct. Now, it doesn't mean you have to, but it means that
option,
that claim, that conviction that the later posting reflects consensus isn't true when a Shita was unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this became a huge controversy because the Chazon Ish, and his position is very complicated, he says different things in different places,
mm-hmm.
but there is a tradition attributed to the Chazon Ish which he does seem to say in certain places even though he doesn't say in other places, which is the opposite, which is Hashkacha, I'll say in the strongest formulations that you sometimes hear, Hashkacha guided which Rishonim made it into the Mesorah and which ones didn't.
Right.
And if a Rishon didn't make it into the Mesorah, you can't bring it back. It's just not part of the Mesorah.
Yeah.
And therefore it's worth nothing.
Uh-huh.
It's Efes, right? You can't bring it in. It's only the Rishon, and you'll find very extreme formulations of this. Like, I know people who have said, I find it shocking because it seems to go against the Ramah, if a Rishon is not quoted in the Beis Yosef, it's not relevant lahalacha. That's it. Now, this is very strange. And I will add that not only is it strange, it goes against the Ramah. Often, people say this as if this is true. If it isn't found in the Ashkenazi Acharonim that I read, then it's michutz lahalacha. But like, you look at the Sephardi poskim from the same time, and they didn't lose it. It's like, sure, the Ashkenazi Acharonim were running for their lives in the pogroms, so the Shach didn't know about the Ravid al Avodah Zarah because he had whatever Svarim he had.
Ashkacha.
What?
Ashkacha.
Correct. I you remember I said this when we were doing the sugya about Sheikhar Akum.
Right.
Right. That the Shach says, oh, nobody ever said that the Isser Sheikhar of Mesibor Akum is D'Oraisa. And therefore, it's Mutter Mishum Eva.
Right.
Right? And I said, Mapitam. The Ravid says it's Daraisa. The Ritva says it's Daraisa. And not only are the Rishonim who say it's Daraisa, but all the contemporary Achronim writing in Svarad quote them. This wasn't even a lost position. You can't even pull a Chazon Ish on me. Unless you are so Ashkenazi centric that you think that God led only certain positions to make it into the Ashkenazi Masorah, and anything that is transmitted by the contemporaneous Svardi Boskim don't count. There's like the Chutzla Machaneh, like in the Erech HaShulchan, and like, I mean, a little bit later, but fine. But whatever. But not Erech HaShulchan, Erech HaShulchan, which is Svardi.
Is it like a joke on? Or
no, I think it's before that. Before. No. I mean, like other Achronim, Avram, and people like that quote it. Like, these are very strange positions. So it's very weird because the Chazon Ish is quoted in some places as saying this, but it does seem to go against the Ramah and the Maharik.
But I don't think he's saying that. He's not saying, like, if the Svardim had it, then it's considered.
I don't know if he would say in that case.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm saying his stated opposition that he's sometimes quoted about it being opposed to an manuscript seems to go against this entire Svara, because the whole logic of Halacha Kabasroi, according to the Marik, is not that we're greater than the earlier generations, it's that we have access to...
Like the more stuff.
Correct.
Well, now, what about if Kappa comes out with a new version of the Rambam?
Same thing. Same thing. Oh, I'll tell you, I have seen some very surprising tshuva recently where Postkim did exactly that. Where they said, look, this is what Shulchan Aruch says, this is what the Ramah says, this is what the Rambam says, and that's why the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah say what they said.
Right. But Rambam,
but look at the Girsa. It's the wrong Girsa. It's not true. It's not the Rambam said. We have the better Girsa of the Rambam. The Rambam was much more Mekil. So.
I mean, they're kind of...
Well, isn't it wrong? Does it run with cases where Rambam said it this way?
I'm not saying it doesn't make sense. I'm saying that this is... But what I want to point out is that if any of this is true... This is very much, and this is what this
you better be sure that
this Michal Goodman says in this this article.
What is
right?
Is right?
The one that the Rambam wrote.
So this is Mordechai Goodman. Now he is correct that he said what really is at stake here? Zeph. He said, what's at stake here? He said, what's at stake here really is, again, if you think this is a freeing principle because you're so convinced by this beautiful metaphor, you're missing the point here. The point here is really not, according to Rove Postkim, it's not a freeing principle. It's not that, oh, the later generations are greater, maybe not individually, but like we have koach that they don't have because we have a better vision. And that's not what this is at all. What this is a statement of the way consensus builds. Right? It's that it's as he says, this is a limiting principle that we are constrained by consensus and are not free to paskin like some very good lumdus and some very important rishon that we liked. Right? The Ashkenazi position of Halacha Kabatrai is not at all a freeing principle. It's the opposite. It's a claim that we are not free to say, I like the lumdus of the Rambam, I'm going to paskin like it. It's that you are constrained by the built consensus of Psak. And that is a very different view. And yes, halacha kibatrai, but not that. You know, obviously there are limits to this, right? It's not like, as certain poskim said, this is a thing with Ramal Shakar. He says, obviously, this doesn't mean, no one believes that it means the later you are, the more likely we are to paskin like you. As he says, that makes it kikucha v'tlula. What a joke is this, right? It's the same, you have this in other rules as well. Like the Gemara says, halacha kedivrei hamekel ba'avel.
Yeah.
So some of the poskim say, so there's the same machlok is there. Halacha de Ramokel Ba'avil. Does that mean the Gemara? Does that mean the Rishonim? What does that mean? And at some point, some of the later poskim say, well, it obviously doesn't mean automatically in every generation, because then all I need to do is one up you.
Right.
You have a kula and Avilas, I got a better one for you. And we'll say, oh, well, you have to poskim like him. And I'm like, it's a joke. Right? These are crazy. It's not always true.
That's all over my mind.
Correct. And we say the same thing by Erevin. I'll look at the Gedevra Mekel by Erevin. So now you'll say,
oh, so then why go like Rambam?
So there's a big machlokas whether it's Halacha Gedevra Mekel by Erevin, but what about by Mechitza? There are two different things. Right? Many of the Rishonim think, no, Halacha Gedevra Mekel by Erevin, but Halacha Gedevra Machmir Mechitza. Right? Because Mechitzos are Daraisa. And once you have Mechitzos, so then the question of how to build an Erev is Darabanan's Halacha Gedevra Mekel by Erev. But it's not necessarily that, right? What we call Erevin is really two shailas. One is a Rishuyos question, which is the Daraisa, and the second is once you have established that you can make an Erev.
You can't do an Erevin. I don't know. Loivanti. You can't do an Erevin in Daraisa. What do you say?
Meaning, the first question you need to establish is that the place in question is not a Rosh Hashanah Rabban d'oraisa. Correct. But if you said halachim divrei hamekel be'eruv, that would mean you could be mekel in defining a Rosh Hashanah Rabban. So many of the Rishonim say that's not true. That's the d'oraisa. It's once everyone agrees that we're on the level of d'rabbanan, and then you have a machlokes of how do you go about doing schiras rishus.
Right.
So then halachim divrei hamekel be'eruv. Because schiras rishus is only once I've established there's no problem of eruv. And this is, by the way, this is where I get. Where I'm much more comfortable with Kula, because I'll never make a bay roof. Meaning, if you've established there are walls, there are walls, Nagid. Okay? It's Mahajan of Mahajan, Rosh Hashayachid. Now, the only question is who is qualified to do the Schiras Rishus, because you have to rent the property from the non Jews. Right? So, who do you do it? So, the Gemara tells you we're super Makil. So, then you'll find that there are a lot of Kulas. Do we have to do it from the mayor? Are you allowed to do it from a mayor in a. Because this is democratic? Does that really work? Does he really own the land? Can you use the fire chief? Can you use the police force? Because they have certain rights over land.
You can't just have a wall. That's not good enough.
No, that only makes it a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. An Eruv is something that you make within a Rosh Hashanah Yachid to allow you to carry.
Right.
It's not something that makes...
Wait, can I just ask a slight question? My grandmother has a place in a condo complex in Virginia Beach, and the whole thing is walled, so I can't carry there, even though it's all walled.
Where? Into the hallway? No, for sure not.
Why not?
There's no Eruv. That's when you need an Eruv Chatzera. It is Vaday Derabanan, and you Vaday need an Eruv Chatzera. Vaday. By hotel, it's a Shaila. Because by hotel... What?
You're inside.
No, because by hotel, you don't actually own your room. They actually can go into your room.
So put it back
to and there's a category called Schiru Lakitu, that they are entitled, because the owner is entitled to leave property in every room, so he maintains a right in each room, so maybe you only have to rent it from the owner of the hotel. You don't have to rent it from, or something like that. But in an apartment building, Azai Pashut.
Backyard is walled in.
In your own backyard, you don't need an Eruv. To go from backyard to, right, to go from your house to your next door neighbor's house, you need an Eruv, right? You need an Eruv, right? If you, that's when Eruv Chaseris is necessary, Dafka. An apartment building is Vaday Derabanan, and Vaday needs an Eruv Chaseris.
Offense is not enough.
What?
Offense is not enough.
No, and that's exactly what I'm saying, that many of the poskim say, Halachik Divrei Amachmer Mechitzot. But once you're mechitzot, and now the shaila is, how do I build the eruv? You can rely on kulah. Halacha can make an eruv, but there obviously has to limit, because otherwise, they said it makes it kulchavit lula.
Right.
It's a joke. You can't say the later you are because you have hindsight. You always paskin like you. No, this is according to this sheet. That's a description of how binding consensus emerges. And according to some sheet, this is only in the Gemara. According to the Ashkenazi tradition, that the Ma'arik reflects that it's post Gemara. Again, we have to work it out, but it's clearly not that every generation just like Paskin like me. It's that you are bound to follow certain consensus markers. Again, how you define it, it's complicated, but it's clearly not a freeing principle. Right? This is not chaos. This is important, by the way, to realize this about Eruv. Right? Eruv Chatzeros is Dafka Achiyuv in Rishus Hayachid.
So
that's what it is. An Eruv doesn't help you in Rishus HaRabim. You need, right? So that's what I'm saying. These are two different shailas. When people say, some people will say the reason you can't build an Eruv there is because you can't build an Eruv there. Right? It's a Rishus HaRabim. That's the most machmir. Other times people will say you could build an Eruv here. I just don't like the way they built the Eruv.
Right.
That's an Eruv in question. Right? That's an Eruv in question. I don't like how you built the Lechi. I don't like how you built the Kara. I don't like you did Skiris Rishus. I don't like how you did... I don't like how you did the Teruzah Pesach. I don't like how you did this. I don't like how you did that. V'chulei.
So the Eruv composed of string are probably also not good? Where it's like beam, it's the...
What did I...
No, you were saying because the walls were not even good enough for fence. Dafka you can't use, so I'm guessing...
No, I'm just saying these are two different shailas. These are two different shailas. That's all I'm saying. They're two different shailas. One of those is the Doraisa question, one of those is the Rabban question. Right, the million-dollar question is the Rosh Hashanah Rabban question. I was getting to an argument with this with Rabbi Chait before, and I don't think we disagree in principle. I just think we disagree.
You mean when you guys looked at the?
Yeah. For the record, Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik said it was fine.
Yeah, I remember.
He said it was fine. For the record, Meaning, you know, Reb Chait just looked at me when I said, oh, it's not Rishus Rabbim. He's like, of course it's not Rishus Rabbim. You couldn't build an Erev in Rishus Rabbim. I agree, you can't build an Erev in Rishus Rabbim. But that wasn't my point. My point was that a lot of the Brisker Chumros are because you actually think that certain things that other people think are Rishus Yachad or Rishus Rabbim. Right? I don't think he believed. I don't know if he believes that. I think he's convinced. I think he might be convinced that. Right, a lot of poskim will just say in Rishus Rabbim bizman hazeh, and therefore these are only the Rabbanim questions. Except maybe in Manhattan. Except like Manhattan, maybe in like a few other places. Uh-huh. Right? What?
Rishwine?
Whatever, different places.
The opposite, like there's more Rishus
Rabbim. I'm with you. I'm of that camp where I'm like, I'm more choshed that a lot of things really are Rishus Rabbim, and that's why I'm scared.
Yeah, well, where does that come from? In Rishus Rabbim?
Combination of a lot of things. It's a combination of many, many shitot. Certain convictions. Some of them are about 600,000.
Right.
Oh, no, because there are statements in Shulchan Aruch, like there is no Rishus HaRabim Bizman HaZeh.
Huh.
But as one of my chavrus has once pointed out, the Achronim would be like, oh, there's no Rishus HaRabim nowadays because we paskin, they need 600,000, and where is there a street with 600,000 people? One of my friends pointed, he like literally just pointed to a picture, I told you, he pointed me a picture of Tzfat.
Right.
And he's like, no, it's because half the place is Makura.
Or what?
Is Makura, there are roofs.
I see.
Right, and the Gemara says that even if you have a Rishus HaRabim, if it's Makora, it's not a Rishus HaRabim Daraisa.
Most like cities are
no. In Sva, where the basis is living.
Oh,
right, like the old Sva. You think about all these like canopies and things that make in the. So it could be that there are, that the reason he said in Rishus HaRabim is Manazeh was because he was talking about his city where there are roofed streets, which even if there are 600,000, it's a special Deres HaKazim that's Mafkia it from. Rishus HaRabim, so like, you know, and 600,000 is like weird. And
yeah, the math doesn't work out, right? It would take
I told. Well, if you hold like the very, very, very extreme shita, which is 600,000 means 600,000 people on one street have to walk on it over one Shabbos, it doesn't work out because it's 37,500 rows of 16 people, and walking each of them at 1 second, it would take you like, I forget how many days, but more than a Shabbos, it's like, I forget how many weeks it would take you.
Isn't that like just like a raya against that shita?
Yes.
Yes.
Meach.
How
It's half the Rishonim. I mean, that particular construal is not half the Rishonim, but the 600,000 half the Rishonim. Literally, half. It just, you know. I mean, Mr. Brewer says half, and then like everyone later is like, oh, it's. I found 100 more Rishonim on each side, and still half. Like there's literally hundreds and hundreds of Rishonim and Gaonim on each side.
Uh-huh.
Like, this is in the Gaonim, it's found. It's a very strange Shita. It's a very strange. Yes.
Really?
I mean, it's the Gaonim, it's Rashi, it's Tosfos, it's very important people. It's also very weird because the Gemara says that Yerushalayim would be Rishus HaRabim Daraisa if it weren't for the fact that it had walls and a gate. Where the heck did you put 600,000 people on a daily basis in the old city of Yerushalayim? I don't know what, like, it just didn't have 600,000 people. Like, it just didn't. Right, so, that's not my kasha, that's like the Rishonim's kasha, right? Yes, really. No, it didn't. No, it just didn't on the old city. What? But it didn't. It can't fit 600,000 people. It can't. This is not my kasha. This is all the Rishonim, right? Who argue? This is a machloket. 50%, 50% Rishonim. It can't fit 600,000 people. Anyways, so these are now in modern Sock, you'll see that the post.
He's gonna point out that word.
Yes, I'm sure there are goddesses. There were 58 million people.
Yeah.
There were it.
I'm saying, yeah, by now you would expect that.
There were it. But the.
Is your 400 Maya?
No.
No.
Okay.
By the way, the revolt uses that.
Yeah, that's very nice.
As what?
Good for you. Okay. Fine. So. Now, I will just point out, right, that. I do tend to think that the majority view here is that this is not a freeing principle in halacha.
Sure.
But I don't think that we should miss that point, which is the fact that at any point in time we said halacha kibatrai, that it should be, if nothing else, a statement about the fact that we don't believe, as this dogmatic rule, that the earlier generations are always more binding. The fact that a consensus can build against the Rambam is itself a testament to the fact that there is a certain greatness that can be achieved by later generations, even if individually they're not. Again, it may not be a freeing principle, Okay, I'll leave it there because it's time for dinner. But if you look at all the nuances, I can send it to you also. It's a 51-page article where he goes, Mama, Shita by Shita, and he develops it. Okay, anyways, it was an interesting circuit to start going through. There's a lot more on it, but cool. But I was glad to have gone through it. It was a...